Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Living Waters Christian Centre's midweek message. My name is Wes Chambers. My wife and I are senior leaders of Living Waters Christian Centre. It's been our great privilege to be so for the last 28, 29 years. Tonight I want to just cut straight to the chase. I want to talk tonight about something that's very passionate. I'm very passionate about, and it's a real passion for me. And I want to be straight up with you. I want to talk about the power of God tonight. I want to talk about the fact that God wants his church. He wants every believer. He wants his sons and daughters filled with his power. Jesus went on record as with a very plain statement, and he said this in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 13. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a snake or a stone rather? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, part of my early growing up years in Christ was in the charismatic move of the late 70s or the 70s through into the 80s. And for me, coming out of a traditional church background and coming into a Pentecostal setting where the power of God actually moved in evidence, there was very much evidence of the power of God moving. And I was touched very deeply and very powerfully by the power of God when I was born again. And then later on, a year or so later, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Australia, very much touched by the power of God, changed my life very dramatically. But in those years, for those of us who came out of traditional settings where perhaps there'd been a resistance to the manifest power of God or the power of the Holy Spirit, as we know, and the gifts of the Spirit, the miracles, the signs and wonders, the prophetic words, the deliverance, there was great resistance to the manifest power of God. And so many arguments were put up against why the church should need to move and receive and be filled with the power of God. And so as a young man, I was affected by a number of those arguments. I was challenged. I was argued with. People tried to talk me out of pursuing and experiencing the presence of the power of God, especially moving and the gifts of the Spirit. So I was very aware of many of the arguments, many of the so-called doctrinal arguments. And I had to resolve those in myself because I had to deal with them or resolve them from a biblical perspective. But over the years, even though people passionately embrace the power of God and the Holy Spirit, there's been also a degree of waning in enthusiasm, waning in the sense of need, waning in the sense of importance of the power of God moving in our midst. I want to say this. Anybody who argues against the need for the church, for every individual believer to be filled personally with the power of God today, with demonstration of power and demonstration of the gift of the Spirit moving in our lives, really is not moving in a good biblical paradigm. If there was ever a need for the church, if ever a need for us to be filled with the power of God, it's now. The harvest that God is ripening is a harvest that's coming out of every form of sin, every form of bondage, every form of broken background, every form of hideous bondage that you wouldn't even want to think of. People are needing to be delivered. They're needing to be healed. They're needing to be set free. They're needing to be liberated in their spirits. And if there was ever a time when the church needs to be moving and filled with the power of God, it's now. When we come out of this lockdown situation, I'm not expecting to come out into a situation that is going to be like we went back in time or where we've gone back into a retreated sort of a situation. I'm believing that we're coming out of this situation into a dimension of harvest that I believe that maybe as a nation we've never ever seen before, except perhaps in the revivals among the Maori people back in the 1800s. And so I'm expecting very significant things. I also know that many people are not wanting to encounter powerless religion. They're not wanting to encounter some lukewarm New Age philosophy. They're wanting to encounter God in reality. They're wanting to, my wife reminded me to smile tonight. So I'm just going to put on a token smile and then I'm going to get back into what I want to say, because what I want to say tonight is serious. It's a challenge. It's a stir. I feel like I'm stirring people tonight out of lethargy, out of complacency, and out of maybe a place of lukewarmness, because I want you to be asking the Father to fill you with the Holy Spirit and to fill you with his power, because we need to be people who are going to be his witnesses in Christchurch, in New Zealand, and wherever you're listening to this, right to the uttermost ends of the earth. And so gone is the day for powerless Christianity. In fact, the term powerless Christianity is actually an oxymoron. It's something that doesn't actually exist. There's no such thing as powerless Christianity. If it's powerless, it's not really Christianity, if you get my drift. And so the Father wants his sons and daughters to be filled with power. Jesus wants his brothers and sisters, his disciples, to be filled with power. If we have what people might call powerless Christianity, what it'll descend into, it just descends into a self-improvement program. It just descends into a behavioral adjustment program or a moral code with no power. The word is desperate. The world is desperate for the power of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, we have a whole statement about people in the last days and people who will descend into various levels of depravity. And then in the end of that statement, he said, people having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, turn away. There can be a form of godliness. There can be an outward appearance of symbolism, of routine, of ceremonies, of religious behavior. But in actual fact, in the heart, in the mind, there's a denial of the reality of his power. So I don't want to be a person, I don't want to lead a people who are in a place where we might have an outward appearance of power, but in actual fact, we're denying the reality of his goodness, his power, and his presence to transform any situation into victory. The power of his Jesus did not begin his earthly ministry until he had been endued with power. Some people have these fantasies that, you know, when Jesus was a boy, he healed his friend's dog or he healed his friend's cat or whatever. Quite frankly, they're just little fantasies. The reality is Jesus did not begin his ministry and his demonstration of power until he'd been baptized by John at the age of 30, when a man came into the age of being able to come into his practice of his priesthood. He did not do any miracles until he'd been endued with power. And so Jesus did not do the miracles out of the power of his divinity, out of the power of his divine nature. Actually, he did the miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. He did it as a demonstration of what it was like for a man fully submitted to God, fully submitted to his word, yielding to the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit, and then that river of living water that flowed out of him performing the miracles. A number of those miracles were signs to the Jews that he was the Messiah. But also they were demonstrations of the nature of God, the power of his righteousness, the power of his holiness, and the power of his promises, and the power of his redemptive nature. And so Jesus did the miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, not just out of the power of his divine nature. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, this is after he was baptized by John the Baptizer, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. If you know your scriptures, you will know that he spent 40 days in the wilderness and fasting and praying. And at the end of that, he was very hungry. I'm hungry usually on the first day of fasting, but after that, he was very hungry to an extreme level, I would believe. And the devil came to him, and there was three significant temptations that are mentioned in the scriptures. We know there was more because he was tempted in every manner as we are, yet without sin. And in those temptations, he overcame by the power of the word and overcame the devil. Then he came out of that time of temptation in Luke chapter 11, verse 20. It says that In Luke chapter 4, verse 14 says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all of the surrounding region. And there were a few reasons the news went out. One reason was because of his teaching. It was different teaching to the usual range of teachers of the day because it had authority with it. There was authority in his preaching. There was authority in his teaching. The second reason the fame went out is because of the miracles, because of the power of God that was demonstrated through his life, through the people being healed, delivered, set free, and so on. The news went up right through the whole region. So Jesus didn't do any of his miracles just out of the power of his divine nature because he was God, because a lot of people would like to think that. And that would relegate the issue of miracles to Jesus because he was God, rather than the fact that he was actually also 100% man, moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, and actually demonstrating the power of God. Remember in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, if anybody believes on me, as the scripture says, these things shall he do, and greater things shall he do because I go to the Father. What was one of the key issues in him going to the Father is that he would pray the Father, and the Father and the Son would send the Holy Spirit. He would be another comforter. He would be like Jesus with us, but the Holy Spirit with us. People say to me sometimes, oh, if we only lived in the days when Jesus walked the earth and we had Jesus here with us. We do have Jesus here with us. We have him in his presence and power. He's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not less than the Son. He's not less than the Father. He is the Spirit of the Father. He is the Spirit of the Son. When you have the Holy Spirit with you, you have the kingdom with you. The kingdom's not such a mystery, really. You have the Holy Spirit with you. You have the kingdom with you, and you have the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son with you. You have God with you. That's who you have with you. Just remembering to smile again. And so Jesus moved in power to demonstrate the power of God, but also to demonstrate the nature of that power, who could also flow with us and in us, and out of our innermost being flow those rivers of living water. I want to tell you, my friends, there's no such thing as boring Christianity. If it's boring, it's not Christianity. Simple as that. I love the power of God. I love moving in the power of God. I love seeing the power of God move. I make no apologies for the power of God showing up in meetings and in ministry sessions, and people being affected by the power of God, people falling, shaking, people laughing, people encountering the fire of God in their feet and their hands. I want to tell you, I actually love when he does that, because it's God showing that he's alive and that he's well, and that he's interested in you, and he wants to demonstrate his power through you. And so I've been in some times when I've seen the power of God move. I tell you what, it's just been utterly amazing. People being delivered of demonic oppression, people being healed, people being set free, people being so filled with the Holy Spirit, they can't stand on their feet, they can't walk, they can't talk, just so overcome by the power of God. I love the power of God. I want to tell you, trying to be a Christian without the power of God is, I wouldn't have a bar of it, quite frankly. And so, when Jesus was speaking to some Pharisees about how they were accusing him of casting out demons by the prince of demons called Beelzebub, Jesus came back at them and said, well, who do your sons cast them out by? They will be your accusers. And he said this in Luke 11, verse 20, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. If I cast out demons by the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So what Jesus is saying, that I'm casting out these demons by the finger of God. Who is the finger of God? The finger of God is the power of God, the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's the power of God with us, present with us. Emmanuel, present with us. And so the finger of God is the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the finger of God. Then he said this, surely If that's what I'm doing and that's what happens, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So the kingdom of God is not actually as mysterious as we may think. The kingdom of God is demonstrated in healing, deliverance, transformation of people's lives, revelation coming to people of the will and the nature of God, the transformation power in our lives. But the kingdom of God is his dominion, where people are yielded to his lordship and his dominion and welcome the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I tell you what, I'm so excited. So here we have a demonstration of the fact that power actually flowed out of Jesus, and Jesus felt that flow. We are going to be going more than 20 minutes, by the way, tonight. Just thought I'd tell you that. I'm feeling a bit fired up. And so Mark chapter 5, verse 25, we have this amazing encounter where a woman with an issue of blood, she'd been bleeding for 12 years, been to physicians, can't help her, spent all the money, all that. She's in this state where she's desperate. She says, if I can just get a hold of Jesus, the hem of his garment, if I can just get a hold of the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. That was her inner faith. That was her statement. That enabled her to push through the crowd at great risk, at risk of being found out and being very mistreated. And she got a hold of Jesus' garment. She touched the hem of his garment. There's a real significance in that that I don't have time to go into. She touched the hem of his garment, having said that in her heart, and then power flowed out of him. King James says virtue flowed out of him. Some of us might say anointing flowed out of him, but power flowed out of him. And here we have in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, verse 30 to 31. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. For she said, very important about what you say, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain or the flow of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had flown, had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you. In other words, there were many, many people pushing on him, thronging him. And you say, who touched me? There's a big difference between a jostling, crowding kind of touch and a faith touch. A faith touch. Very, very different. But here's the deal. The woman felt the change in her body. She felt the power of God impact her. But Jesus felt power flow from him. Isn't that interesting? Jesus felt the power of God flow from him. So I'm talking tonight about the power of God. I've been in situations, and a number of people have been in situations where we've ministered to people, where people have been opened, there's been a faith openness, and you can feel the power of God flowing out of you into that person's life. You can feel the power of God moving, and they can feel the power of God impacting them. I've had situations where being able to pray for people over the phone, people in other parts of the world, and they felt the power of God touch them, felt the power of God move through them. When we pray, it's a wonderful, it's exciting. I tell you what, it's exciting to be following Jesus and to know something of the power of God. I'm a builder by background. God is called a wise master builder. Any builder who wants his building built does not withhold the power from his construction site. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not, on this rock, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so the very thing that Jesus is building, because he's a wise master builder, he's not a stingy builder who doesn't want too much power to be used because of the cost. He's a wise builder who supplies the power to the people that are building with him to see his kingdom extended and his church built and his family expanded. Isn't that right? So we don't have to approach God beggarly to sort of receive his power. We can come to him with faith, like Jesus said in the beginning, when the beginning of this message, we can come to him in faith, knowing that it's his will that we receive his power and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Acts chapter 8, 1 verse 8, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, I want you to go back to Jerusalem after he was, when he was just about to ascend into heaven. He gave them that great commission, and then, but he said, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. I want you to wait there until the power of the day of Pentecost fully comes. And when the day of Pentecost came, that's when they would receive the power. So Jesus said to them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. To who? To him, to his resurrection, to who he is as Lord, to who he is as Savior. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So you shall receive power. And when you receive power, that enables you to be the witnesses of Jesus and who Jesus is, the resurrection, the ascension, the fact that he's Savior of the world, he's the forgiver of our sins, he's the healer of our bodies, he's the deliverer that delivers us from demonic oppression. He's the one that we bear witness to, and we receive power to do that. And how does the power manifest? It manifests in miracles, signs, wonders, deliverance. It manifests in power in us that even when we drink poison, it may not hurt us. Even we trample on all the planes of darkness and the serpents of that dark realm. That's how it's evidenced. Amen. I tell you what, we need power. God wants you to have the power of God. He wants you to be filled with his power. When the day of Pentecost fully came, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 7, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Then suddenly there came a sound from heaven. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. People think it was the unity. Unity had a part, but it was greater than unity. It was the purposes of God, and it was the timing of God. It was an appointment for God, for his church, and with God, for his church, when that day had fully come. Then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, as of fire, one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the crowd's response was this. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. They were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own tongues. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Aren't they unlearned men? Aren't they just fishermen? And yet all this is happening. We're hearing in our own languages the glory of God. But I tell you what, my friends, the Holy Spirit came in power. I want to tell you, my friends, we go from faith to faith, glory to glory. If there's been a weakening of dimensions of the flow of the power of God, it's not God's fault. It's unbelieving, backslidden, apostate, lukewarm, disinterested, bored, distracted people who call themselves followers of Christ, who demonstrate a life of no power, of no glory, and of no hunger for God. That's not the church that Jesus is coming back to. That's not the church that Jesus is building. Jesus is building a church that is full of his power. Amen. Hope this is not offending anybody, but on the other hand, if you're offended, then go to the scriptures and just check it out for yourself, because this may be the very turning point in your life where you go from a negative, argumentative idea of Christianity to actually receiving his power and moving forward and doing great signs and wonders on the earth. It'll transform your life. I want to tell you, my friends, I want to pray for you. I want to, wherever you are in the world, whether you're in Christchurch, whether you're part of Living Waters Christian Center, wherever you are in the world, I want to pray for you, because I believe that the power of God wants to come into your place tonight, into your life in a whole new way. We're coming up to Pentecost. This coming Pentecost is going to be a very significant Pentecost, I believe. Passover was a very significant Passover. This Pentecost is going to be a very significant Pentecost. I'm believing the power of God to move like never before, and I've seen some strong moves of God, believe me, along with many of my friends. But I want to tell you this, when the power of God shows up, anything is possible. Amen. So the world needs believers who are filled with power, not just a cute motivational story or a life principle. Needs the power of God. Amen. It needs In fact, it is groaning for the sons of God, the daughters of God, to be revealed, to be made manifest. It's groaning. The world is groaning. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to release the power of God to you right now. Get ready. Put your hands on toward your screen. Do whatever you want to do. I don't know what's going to happen in your place, but I'm believing that God's going to do something. I believe that the fire of God, the power of God's going to come and fall in many places. So Father, right now we thank you for your great power. Jesus, I thank you that you said that even though we struggle with evil at times and have been given to things that have been corrupting us, Lord, we know that even we wouldn't give rotten things to our children when they ask for a fish or bread or something that is going to be good for them. And so you made that comparison. If we're evil and we do that, how much more will the Father give us Holy Spirit if we are? So tonight, Lord, on the basis of your statement and on the basis of your promise, right now, I just come into agreement with every heart that's open, with every heart that's reaching out in faith tonight, wherever they are in the world. And I'm praying right now that your promise would be fulfilled right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I release power of the Holy Ghost into every lounge, into every bedroom, into every secret place, into every place where this is being viewed. I just release the fire of God. I release the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost into every life right now. Receive the power of God. Receive a fresh anointing. Receive a fresh baptism. Receive a fresh release in your heavenly language. Receive release in the gift of tongues. Receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Receive the power of God. I just release the Holy Ghost right now in Jesus' name. Right now. Fire of God just coming on every person. Every hungry person. Every open person in Jesus' name right now. Thank you, Father. I thank you for blind eyes being opened, deaf ears being healed. Lord, I thank you for injuries, old injuries that are not healed, just receiving a release right now. I thank you for cancers right now being struck by the power of God and diminishing in everybody, every person that's afflicted with cancer. I just release the power of God into every heart that's struggling with heart disease in Jesus' name. I even see the power of God flowing through arteries right now, clearing out plaque, clearing out blockages, being released in Jesus' name. I see lungs being touched by the power of God. Even people who have been impacted by COVID-19 and any other illness relating to the lung, I just see lungs being restored right now in Jesus' name by the power of God. By the power of God right now in Jesus' name, I release the power of God. I see knee injuries being healed right now. I see ankle injuries being healed right now. In Jesus' name, I see somebody who's got an injury up the back of their neck where they landed in a very jarring way and injured up into your spine and the neck. I just release your grace, Lord, right now, your power right now to just completely restore that part of the spine. I break the trauma off it now in Jesus' name. Right now, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Anything else, Lord, just thank you right now. I thank you for somebody with a right wrist that's been seized and locked. I just released freedom into that wrist right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I see somebody that's had a lump on the side of the neck. It doesn't matter which side, it's just the side of the neck. In Jesus' name right now, whatever that lump is, in Jesus' name right now, I just break the power of that. I release the power of God into your body right now just to bring a complete release. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's somebody here who's had a tumor in the brain. It's actually a good portion of it has been removed. It's brought some relief, but the doctors have said there's still some of it there. Right now, I just release the power of God into that tumor. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I release the power of God into that tumor right now. And I just command every cancer cell to wither and die because of the power of God coming upon it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name right now. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Father. Right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Thank you, Father. Shalababah. You shall receive power. Ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when he comes upon you. Amen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying right through to the sweet end, not a bitter end, the sweet end. God bless you. I trust that you're life in Christ will go up another whole level. God bless you. See you again in the future. God bless. Bye-bye.